Conservatives need to understand something about the left. Libertarians do. Everyone needs to understand this about the left. You cannot coddle them. You cannot agree to terms with them. You cannot compromise with them because they will never stop. They are like that horror movie monster that just keeps coming back from the dead no matter how many times you kill it. They just keep coming back for more. They don't want compromise. They want total and complete victory, and that means the loss of every liberty we have. That's today on the Daily Gator Daily Thought, my friends. It's going to be a good one. I'm going back to Michael Brown case. Black lives matter in their lies. And the thuggery of the leftists. Welcome again to the Daily Gator Daily Thought with me, again, Greg Hagen. I woke up this morning, I was myself again. Amazing consistency I have. And I think I have a pretty firm grasp on what the left is really about. And this story just points out why you cannot ever deal or compromise or rationalize with them. They don't want those things. They want you to shut up or go away. They don't care which, as long as they don't have to cow to anybody, don't have to agree to terms to anybody. They can have things their way every time, regardless of every law in the book, regardless of every principle America was founded upon, because ultimately they loathe America. That's the difference between leftists and liberals. The leftists loathe America. Mike McDaniel is a phenomenal blogger, one of the very best. He is, if there's a Hall of Fame, my personal Hall of Fame for bloggers, he's on it. He's written a lot about cases involving, he's a former police officer, and he's written a lot about cases such as the Michael Brown case in Ferguson, Missouri, Trayvon Martin cases like that, where a narrative has been created that tells us that cops are basically just roaming the streets of every American city, hunting down and gunning down black men in cold blood, unarmed, good church boys of the African American community with no punishment. That it's basically just open hunting season all the time on these black youths. That is utter nonsense. And this piece that I just read this morning by Mike McDaniel exposes what the left really is about. How they use cases like the Michael Brown case, put their narrative in, throw the facts out, and use it to intimidate and get their way. Now, last year, Mike McDaniel wrote this. He wrote, "Michael Brown, felon wannabe, late of Ferguson, Missouri, was installed in the ranks of holy social justice martyrs within minutes of his death." Now, understand, when you hear social justice, understand what it means. It means that instead of due process, instead of gathering facts on a case, and then determining what happened, determining should there be charges, who should be charged, and then perhaps a trial proceeding and a guilty or not guilty verdict being reached, that's how due process works. Social justice takes the race of the one person, the race of the other, the victim status of both sides. Then they determine based on that who was right, who was wrong, regardless of any facts. And any facts that are there, that are in their way, are dismissed, called racist, called bigoted, and then their own facts are, as in the form of a narrative, is put into it. The media is very complicit in this because of the reckless way they support, they report, especially police shootings. The headline may scream, "Black officer shoots unarmed black man." And there may be protests, there may even be riots, there may be some violence, threats of violence, whatever there may be. But when you get through it all, and the facts come out, and the investigation is actually done, you find that, A, the person was not unarmed, or B, the person wouldn't move their hands out of their pockets, were acting as if they were armed, and threatening the officer, refusing to comply, giving the officer a choice of possibly losing their life, or using deadly force. In other words, the police committed a completely justifiable and understandable shooting based on the behavior of the, quote, victim. But that doesn't fit the narrative. And when that information comes out, the media is pretty much silent. Now, back to Mike McDaniel. Michael Brown's installation was a foregone conclusion, McDaniel writes. His wholly constructed legacy was just too useful to Black Lives Matter, the Obama Department of Justice. And by the way, the Obama Department of Justice, along with local law enforcement, along with the DA, along with the grand jury, all found that the officer whose career and life has been destroyed, basically, over this, Darren Wilson, did nothing wrong. He was completely and wholly justified in using deadly force to kill Michael Brown, who attacked him, tried to take his weapon, charged at him. He gave the officer no choice. But the narrative said Brown was a hero. He was just a kid, just eager to go to college soon, and he was just gunned down in the street with his hands up. Complete and utter lies. But those lies are still ongoing. You hear the left all the time when they talk about issues like this. They continue to bring up Michael Brown as if he was some innocent kid just slaughtered in the street for no reason. They lie. McDaniels continues. He writes of the legacy being too useful to Black Lives Matter, the Obama Department of Justice, and every race baiter and hustler. Yeah, that's you, Benjamin Crump and Al Sharpton. In a country to be ignored, alive, Brown was just another unremarkable young man. An adult in age only, shiftless, drug abusing, no job, no plans, not at all a role model. But dead, he was a major meal ticket and a political springboard, one that continues to be exploited to this day. And if you go to Stately McDaniel Manor, that is Mike McDaniel's blog, you can read about this. And he's written several articles about it. Excellent pieces, very informative, written with integrity and honesty instead of a goal to become rich. That's why I admire people like Mike McDaniel so much. They don't do that for money. They do it because it's the right thing to do. He's more of a journalist than CNN probably has working for them. Now, there was a video of Michael Brown before he was shot, of him stealing cigarillos from a store in Ferguson, Missouri. The owner, who was about a third of the size of Michael Brown, confronted him at the door because he was being stolen from, and Michael Brown shoved him aside, grabbed him by the shirt, shoved him aside in a very threatening manner. He assaulted him, in other words, because he dared to question why Michael Brown was stealing from him. That is the Ferguson Market and Liquor. This, of course, was back in early August of, was it 2016? I may be wrong in the year. Protesters, McDaniel writes, outside of Ferguson Market and Liquor since August 9th, the fourth anniversary of the shooting death of Michael Brown Jr. This happened in 2014. Calling on the convenience store to take more ownership of its role in the saga and submit to a list of requests. Now remember, this store was robbed by Brown. The owner or clerk, whoever it was who confronted him, was threatened, was bullied, was shoved aside, was manhandled, was assaulted. And yet the store has some role to play in this. What they're saying is because there was a camera there. There was a camera recording what happened with Brown trying to steal these things and then grabbing and manhandling the clerk and shoving him aside violently. So in other words, it made Michael Brown look bad, which interferes with the narrative, so it must go. The store is wrong for having a camera that recorded the true nature of who Michael Brown was, at least on that day. And that hurts the narrative, and that hurts the money. And you can't mess with the race pimp's money. That's what McDaniel is saying, although more eloquently than I just said. McDaniel continued, Brown had just left the store before the fatal skirmish with then-officer Darren Wilson in the street near Canfield Green Apartments in 2014. After the shooting, Ferguson police released the surveillance clip from the store indicating that Brown had stolen cigarillos and shoved a store clerk. And if you've ever seen that video clip, it's very clear that Brown is prepared to beat this guy badly, and it would not have been a contest. Michael Brown is a massive human being. The store clerk's a little guy. Protesters believe that the surveillance clip mischaracterized Brown and that the store should have done more to say so. Okay, are you going to believe the video you see there of Brown doing what he did? Or are you going to believe that, well, that wasn't him, it's the store's fault. They recorded, how dare they record something and get facts in the way of our narrative? There have been recent protests at that market, the Ferguson market, which have been strong enough to close the store the first week. Jay Kensler is an attorney for the store. He said when the store was open again, so they shut down the store with their demands. McDaniels writes, it's rather hard to mischaracterize Brown if one relies on fact rather than the social justice narrative. Brown went to the store to obtain blunts, cheap cigars to hollow out and fill with marijuana. Remember, there was marijuana found in Brown's system. He grabbed several handfuls, roughed up a much smaller clerk. The crime, which is called strong-arm robbery, was caught on video, but who are you going to believe? The social justice narrative or your lying eyes? Video, so long as it was filmed, it used flangles, is viewed unedited and is sufficiently clear. May be subject to verifying interpretations, but it is the interpretations that may mischaracterize events, not the video. Video shows what it shows, folks. Now, in an effort to get over this, the attorney for the store, Candler, said he was part of a formal meeting on August 17th of this year. It happened at Ferguson Police Headquarters. It included Michael Brown Sr., State Representative Bruce Franks, who's a Democratic race pimp from St. Louis, activist Anthony Shaheed, another race pimp, and attorney Anthony Gray, who listened by telephone. The protester group had the following requests. The store had to, quote, address Michael Brown Jr.'s character. In other words, I guess they had to disavow the video evidence that showed him to be a violent thug and a thief. They had to close the store every year for 3 days on the anniversary of Brown's death. They had to create a scholarship in his name. It would be I don't know what they'd call it, the Michael Brown, attack a cop and get killed scholarship. I don't know. Find ways to interact and give back to the community. That could be good or bad depending on what the heck they mean. And when you're dealing with social justice warriors, it's usually bad. It's usually ways to funnel more money into their pockets. Stop selling Dorman, which is a sleeping capsule, and other items that can be misused to get high. Again, a ridiculous request because it's on the back and responsibility of people who abuse these things. Not people who use them responsibly. These things aren't bad. People use them in bad ways. Retain a black-owned security company to protect the store. Well, to say that it has to be a black-owned security company is racist, of course. But it's okay to be racist if you're a social justice warrior. But what are they protecting the store from? Well, we know the store was attacked. There was a lot of looting at the time of Brown's death. A lot of thuggery went on there as businesses where black people worked and made their living were destroyed by black people who were upset that police were killing unarmed black people. In other words, hotheads caught up in the narrative that acted the fool and destroyed things that benefited the community. I guess security company has to protect the store, but of course if they did protect the store in another such situation, they would be blamed for being racist because they interfered with the social justice warriors and activism. And no matter how much security footage caught the people being right in trying to protect the store, it wouldn't matter because don't believe your lying eyes. The story continues, it seemed like everyone in the room was open to working it out. That's from Ferguson Police Chief Delrish Moss. It was friendly, a robust discussion. Kanzler said the store ultimately agreed to all the requests by Wednesday. Other than one, they weren't going to close the store for 3 days. Instead, the store promised to close on every anniversary of Brown's death and provide a free barbecue the day before. Now, this is about fixing Michael Brown's character so the narrative can go forward. As McDaniels writes, Brown addressed his own character. He showed us his own character. And what role would the store have in such an endeavor? The owners of the store issued a statement in an attempt to appease the, quote, protesters. But such people can never be placated. Listen to this. This is of ultimate importance. Such people can never be placated and revealed, at least in part, their real agenda. Listen closely. When the store caved and the store said, okay, we'll do whatever you want, just leave us alone, Kanzler, the attorney for the store again, said protest leaders told him that, they weren't interested in going through the agreement anymore, that the only thing that would resolve the matter was if the store was sold to them. He said no formal offers had been made. So, it's a nice little business you got, and yeah, maybe you should just give it to us or else. Or else we'll continue to protest you. We're not going to honor the agreement we offered to you. In other words, you threaten the store, do these things or else, then you agree to do these things or else. And he said, no, it's not good enough anymore. Boy, is that a classic scene from some gangbangers, you know, shaking down a store? Pay us for protection from us. Franks was not available for comment Saturday because of recent death in his family. Other protest leaders who attended the August 17th meeting could not be reached. Now, Michael Brown's father, Michael Brown Sr., said on Facebook that he wanted to thank everyone that had dedicated the movement to a takeover of the store. In other words, you're a legitimate business. You have a camera. You capture a thug being a thug on your closed-circuit camera. That thug later attacks a police officer with deadly intent, gets killed, and somehow you have to turn over your store to race pimps so they can make some money. That's how the left operates. McDaniel has this to say. These are the same people who shortly after Michael Brown's death, again, the media didn't cover this much, but they engaged in a violent brawl in the streets of Ferguson with members of their own family or who would get the profits from the sale of Michael Brown themed merchandise. They were selling t-shirts and things like that with his face on it and trying to make a buck. But McDaniels writes, I'm sure their motives are pure and are intended only to further the welfare of the people. Funny how the left always talks about benefiting the people, and the people who always benefit aren't the people. The people in need, the people in desperate straits, the people who need help. No, it's the people who are claiming to help the other people. It's sad. It is really sad, and the media could expose this very quickly. But they don't. They let it go. They turn their eyes away. They're so obsessed with their leftist ideals of equality. And you can't... Oh, no, this is social justice. They're infatuated with it. Excuse me. Now, it's been brought up in this case, in this particular article that McDaniels is quoting from, and who I'm quoting from, about poverty and violence striking young black men and women. Now, McDaniels asked this question: did the mere existence of the Ferguson market provoke both? How do we explain the fact that most poor Americans do not rob convenience stores, nor do they attack police officers after committing such robberies? That's people of all races, by the way. How can a small convenience store in a single town be responsible for persistent societal ills? How can it resolve them? Now, here we have a woman named Gina Gowdy, who's 49. She said she was motivated to protest the store because of unseen surveillance footage that came out last year in a controversial documentary, Stranger Fruit, which claimed Brown didn't rob the Ferguson market shortly before he was shot. This story, which I covered on this blog, instead asserts that Brown's altercation with the store was part of a misunderstanding tied to a potential drug transaction he had with the store employees on a prior visit. So, see, Michael Brown was an angel just trying to do a drug deal. It didn't go his way, so he decided to take something that belonged to him and strong-arm a very petite elderly man who's a store clerk. And she believes, this woman, that if that video had been seen, the outcome could have been possibly different. Well, the video being released or not, it was released. Would not have changed the forensic evidence, the eyewitness testimony, the physical evidence. It wouldn't have changed the autopsy results. It wouldn't have changed anything. Michael Brown attacked a police officer with deadly intent and lost his life when that officer shot and killed him. That's it. That has nothing to do with the videotape from a store. Nothing. As McDaniel points out, the argument here over that other video is that Brown was just a small-time drug dealer. He certainly speaks well of his character, and the two employees present some 11 hours earlier sold him the blunts for some quality of marijuana. McDaniel says, let us, for the sake of argument, ignore that employees of any store do not have the power to barter merchandise they don't own for illicit drugs. That's theft and possession of controlled substances. And that Brown's sale of marijuana was a separate crime. 11 hours later, the co-owner, unaware of any drug deal, the two drug dealing employees have been off shift for hours at that point. And it's probably unlikely they were going to tell the owner anyway. Was wrong in demanding Brown pay for the blunts he inexplicably did not take with him when he made the drug deal. So in other words, if the owner knows nothing about any type of drug deal, he would be really insensitive and racist, because when he saw someone stealing something that belonged to the store without paying for it, he would try to confront them and then get shoved around like a rag doll. So therefore, Ferguson Market is somehow besmirching the character of Michael Brown. So that really doesn't hold any water, does it? As McDaniels writes, another part of the argument is that the full surveillance video was somehow hidden to cover up something or other, presumably Brown's drug deal. The argument also seems to be that because two employees made a drug deal unknown to the owner with stolen merchandise, Brown's later return for the merchandise, his assault of the owner, and his attack on Officer Darren Wilson were somehow lawful. Or at least to be ignored, because Brown's character was besmirched by his own actions and he was poor and affected apparently by the very violence he initiated. Now, people that write this stuff like McDaniels does get attacked for being racist, for blaming the victim, for promulgating police violence. Unarmed black men are being shot down in the street. That's what Colin Kaepernick, Nike's man of the millennium, tells us, right? But they're not. And in fact, the store surveillance videos were subpoenaed right after the shooting. They were available to any authorities throughout the investigation. Again, let me stress, even the Obama Department of Justice, with Eric Gun Running Holder in charge, said the actions were entirely justified. There was no charges ever contemplated against the Ferguson Market because the owner did nothing wrong. Michael Brown earned his bullets. I'm sorry for the people who cared about them, cared about him. It is a tragedy for them. I understand that. But that doesn't change facts. You go and attack a cop, try to steal their firearm, you're likely to get shot. But that doesn't matter because social justice. And to wrap it up, McDaniel's final thoughts are these. One might reasonably believe Michael Brown's actions were in part due to his drug use, but there's no evidence to suggest his economic situation or any other societal condition had any part in his death. By their own admission, Michael Brown Sr. and his supporters are engaging in a classic racial shakedown, trying to capitalize on Michael Brown's criminality. And yeah, I understand the grief of people who cared about Michael Brown Jr., but some of these people have been trying to make money off of it. And I don't see how grief, sincere grief, turns into capitalist impulses immediately. The allegation has become part of the Michael Brown social justice narrative, and as such can never die. Fortunately for those capable of being persuaded by facts, the video is unmistakable. Brown, his hand full of cheap cigars, roughs up and threatens a clerk and leaves without paying for the merchandise. Even his dim-witted, daily pot-smoking companion, Dorian Johnson, admitted they went to the market to get blunts and Brown stole the cigars, which were recovered at the scene of the shooting. Whatever problems the black community, Ferguson and elsewhere, might actually face will never be addressed by trying to take the property of others, nor will trying to make a hero of a young man that no one should hold up as a role model. None of that will change anything for the better, McDaniels concludes. Michael Brown defined his own character, and his legacy continues to bear bitter fruit. That is a great piece by Mike McDaniel. And again, he has written a lot more about the Michael Brown case and the Trayvon Martin case, and written very well and very effectively. And there's going to be a link when I put this podcast on the Daily Gator. There will be a link where you can go through everything McDaniel's written about the Michael Brown case. But understand something. The real reason I wanted to do this was to point out again and emphasize you cannot placate the left. They are relentless. Give them credit. They're relentless. You might as well go out to the coast, Pacific Ocean, Atlantic Ocean, Indian Ocean, wherever, and yell at the waves to stop hitting the beach, as to expect these people to stop trying to exploit everything for their own personal gain and power. Because everything the left does is designed for that. This is Doug Hagen for the Daily Gator blog. Y'all have a good one. Take care, and I'll try to get another one of these up over the weekend. Voice, my voice, will be the key there. If you're left, you just ain't right. Go Gators, and I'll talk to y'all again very, very soon. Y'all take care.